This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use hand gestures effectively without distracting from your spoken message. Master the art of purposeful gesture so your hands amplify every word. In short, after reading this article, you will be able to use hand gestures effectively so they reinforce your spoken message instead of pulling attention away from it. Establish a neutral home base position and return to it after every gesture. Match each gesture to the word or idea it is meant to support, not to your nerves. Practice specific gestures in advance so they feel natural under pressure. Definition: hand gestures effectively used are deliberate physical movements of the hands and arms that reinforce spoken words, adding clarity, emphasis, or structure to your message without drawing the listener's attention away from what you are actually saying. Introduction. You have seen it happen. Someone stands up to speak, confident enough at the start, and then their hands begin to move, not to support their words, just to move. They flutter, they tap, they twist together like two small creatures seeking comfort. By the third minute, the room is watching the hands, not hearing the message. Most people who struggle with this know something is wrong. They feel it. But the problem is not lack of effort. It is a lack of structure. Nobody ever gave them a clear system for how the body should work alongside the voice. So their hands do what nervous energy always does. They fill the silence. Here is the thing about physical expression. It is not a decorative add-on to your communication. It is part of the message itself. When your gestures contradict your words or run independent of them, you create confusion. Trust erodes without anyone being able to say exactly why. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for using hand gestures effectively that you can apply immediately. If you want to go deeper into how physical presence connects to your overall impact in meetings and conversations, the role of communication in meeting success is a strong place to start. Why purposeful gesture is harder than it looks. Knowing that your hands matter is not the same as knowing what to do with them. Most people have heard the advice. Keep your hands visible. Do not cross your arms. Gesture naturally. And yet they stand in front of a room and still feel completely lost. Here is why this is genuinely difficult. You cannot watch yourself while speaking. You are managing your content, reading the room, and controlling your voice all at once. Tracking your hands on top of all that pushes most people past their capacity, especially under pressure. Nervous energy goes somewhere. When anxiety rises, it needs an outlet. Your hands are the most available one. Stopping a nervous habit without replacing it with something purposeful just creates a different kind of tension. Natural does not mean the same for everyone. What feels natural to you may look stiff or excessive to an audience. Your internal sense of your own gesture is almost always inaccurate until you've seen yourself on video. Gesture habits form over years. The way you move your hands today is probably the way you moved them at 22. Those habits are deep. They do not change from a single piece of feedback. Timing is brutally precise. A gesture that arrives half a second after the word it was meant to support looks disconnected. Synchronizing physical movement with speech is a genuine skill that takes dedicated practice to build. Different audiences read the same gesture differently. A broad sweeping arm that signals confidence in one room reads as aggression in another. Context matters, and most of us have not been taught to read it. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What do you need before you start? Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Number one, know your content cold. If you're still searching for words while you speak, you have no spare attention for your hands. Gesture control is only possible once your content is secure enough to run on a lower level of conscious effort. Prepare more than you think you need to. Number two, identify your current habits. Record yourself speaking for 3 to 5 minutes on any topic. Watch it back with the sound off. What are your hands doing? Are they hiding behind your back, tangled together, or moving constantly without pattern? You cannot change what you cannot see clearly. Number three, establish your home base. Your home base is the neutral resting position your hands return to between gestures. For most people, this is hands loosely clasped or resting lightly together just below the navel. It should look easy and feel stable. Every deliberate gesture begins and ends here. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Map your key messages to specific gestures. This step is about preparation. and it is the one most people skip entirely before any important conversation, presentation, or meeting. Identify the two or three moments where what you say matters most. These are the moments where a deliberate gesture can add real weight. Going into a speaking situation with no gesture plan is like going into a negotiation with no clear position. Here is how to do it. Number 1. Write down your two or three most important points in single sentences. Number 2. For each one, decide whether you want to signal scale, direction, number, contrast, or emphasis. Number 3. Choose one simple gesture for each: an open palm for honesty, two hands apart for contrast, a canting motion for listing, a single raised finger for emphasis. Number 4. Rehearse saying the sentence while making the gesture, not separately, but together, until they arrive at the same moment. Number 5. Decide where your hands will rest before and after the gesture, and practice that transition too. Here is what this looks like in practice. You are presenting a budget decision to your team. Your key message is, we have two clear options, and I want us to choose together. As you say two clear options, you raise both hands slightly, palms up, one to each side. As you say choose together, you bring both hands toward each other and down. The gesture maps the meaning. It does not decorate it. After this step, you enter every important speaking situation with a small but specific gesture plan. That clarity does more for your composure than any amount of general confidence advice. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 2. Establish and return to your home base. Your home base is not just a starting position. It is your anchor under pressure, and returning to it is the single most powerful habit you can build for physical expression. Most people's hands are restless because they have nowhere specific to go. They drift up, they cross over, they fidget. The home base solves this by giving your hands a clear default. When you are not gesturing deliberately, you are here. Here is how to build this habit. Number 1. Practice standing or sitting in your home base position for 2 minutes a day. Not while speaking, just getting the physical memory of it. Number 2. During any practice run, pause after each gesture. Let your hands return to home base and hold it for a full breath before continuing. Number 3. Ask a trusted colleague to give you a quiet signal, a raised finger or a nod, whenever your hands leave home base without a clear purpose. Number 4. Before you begin speaking in any real situation, settle your hands into home base first. Let that physical act signal to your body that you are ready. The home base also communicates calm to your audience before you've said a single word. When your hands are still and placed with intention, you project confidence even when you do not feel it. That stillness is not passive. It is a form of authority. Once this habit is in place, every deliberate gesture you make carries more weight, because the contrast between stillness and movement gives your audience a clear signal this moment matters. Step 3. Match gesture timing to your spoken word. This is where most people fall apart, even when they have prepared. A gesture that arrives late looks disconnected. A gesture that arrives early pulls focus from the word it was meant to support. The rule is simple, but demanding: the gesture must arrive with the word, not before it, and not after it. When you say three reasons, your three fingers appear at three. When you say this is critical, your hand moves on critical, not on the word before or the breath after. Here is how to practice this. Number 1. Record yourself saying 5 prepared sentences, each with one planned gesture. Number 2. Watch the recording and note the gap, if any, between when your hand moves and when the target word arrives. Number 3. Slow your delivery down by 30% during practice. This gives your body time to synchronize. Number 4. Speak a sentence aloud and tap the table at the exact moment the key word lands. Then replace the tap with your gesture. Number 5. Repeat the sentence 10 times until the gesture and the word feel fused. Here is what correct synchrony sounds like. You say, the decision rests on one thing. On the word one, a single index finger rises. Not a half second before. Not a beat after. Right there. The word and the movement hit the listener at the same moment. That precision is what makes a gesture feel confident rather than clumsy. When timing is right, your physical expression stops looking like performance and starts feeling like conviction. That is a difference your audience will feel, even if they cannot name it. Step 4. Control your gesture zone. Your gesture zone is the physical space your hands can move through without looking excessive or erratic. Think of it as a box from your hips to your shoulders, and no wider than your body on either side. Gestures inside this zone read as controlled and credible. Gestures outside it read as emotional or uncontrolled, sometimes both. This matters because many people who feel they are gesturing naturally are actually gesturing widely. And wide gestures in a contained setting pull focus completely away from the spoken message. Here is how to apply this. Number 1. Stand in front of a mirror and map your current zone. Where do your hands naturally travel? Number 2. Practice making all gestures inside the hip to shoulder box until it becomes instinctive. Number 3. When you need to signal something large or expansive, allow the gesture to travel to the outer edge of your zone, not beyond it. Number 4. In seated contexts, your zone shrinks. Keep gestures at or just above the table surface, no higher than mid-chest. Number 5. Film yourself in a reel or practice context and check whether any gesture breaks the zone boundary. Note which ones and rehearse a contained version. When you respect the gesture zone, your physical expression gains focus. Every movement means something because there is no noise around it. The audience can give their full attention to your words, knowing your hands are working in support rather than competing for the same attention. Step 5. Replace nervous gestures with purposeful ones. This is the repair step, and it is where lasting change actually happens. You cannot simply stop a nervous gesture. You can only replace it with something deliberate. Identify your specific nervous habit from your video review. It might be a repeated hand or face movement, a constant rubbing of fingers together, or a chopping motion you make regardless of what you're saying. That habit is not a personality trait. It is a gap in your system. Here is how to replace it. Number 1. Name your specific nervous gesture clearly. I chop with my right hand every time I am unsure. Vague awareness does not create change. Number 2. Choose one purposeful gesture that can live in the same physical space as your nervous habit. If you tend to chop, place it with an open palm emphasis gesture on actual keywords. Number 3. Practice the replacement gesture in low-stakes settings, first phone calls, small team check-ins, casual conversations. Number 4. Use a physical cue to interrupt the habit. When you feel the nervous gesture starting, press your thumb gently to your index finger. That small action breaks the automatic loop. Number 5. Review footage from your next real speaking situation. Are instances of the nervous gesture decreasing? Celebrate that progress. It is real. Imagine you are leading a feedback conversation. You notice you have been pointing your finger repeatedly, which is not the tone you want. You catch it, press your thumb to your finger as a reset, and shift to an open palm as you say, "What I want to understand is how this felt from your side." The gesture changes the atmosphere in the room. Emotional intelligence in feedback conversations explores how physical presence shapes the emotional tone of exactly these moments. Replacing nervous gestures takes weeks, not minutes. But every deliberate repetition builds the new pattern and weakens the old one. Step 6. Read your audience and adjust. Gestures do not exist in isolation. They land in a specific room, with specific people, in a specific context. Part of using your hands well is learning to read what the room needs and adjusting your physical expression accordingly. A large group in a theatre needs broader, more visible gestures to register at the back. A one-to-one conversation requires restraint, where small, precise movements carry more meaning than anything wide or theatrical. A high-stakes negotiation calls for stillness punctuated by deliberate emphasis. An energetic team brainstorm allows more expressive movement. Here is how to build this adaptability. Number 1. Before you speak, assess the room size, the seating arrangement, and the formality of the setting. Let that assessment inform your gesture scale. Number 2. Watch for signals that your gestures are landing well. People leaning in, nodding, maintaining eye contact. These tell you the energy is right. Number 3. Watch for signals that something is off. People glancing at your hands, shifting back, losing focus. These tell you to reduce gesture frequency or scale. Number 4. When in doubt, go quieter. A stillness that feels slightly too controlled on your side almost always reads as composed and confident on theirs. Number 5. After each significant speaking situation, note one gesture that worked and one that did not. Over time, this builds a personal library of what serves you in each context. Being adaptable with physical expression is a sign of real mastery. It means your gestures serve the conversation rather than simply expressing your own inner state. Adapting this process for remote and video communication. When your audience sees you through a camera, the rules for hand gesture shift in important ways. The screen creates a frame, and that frame changes everything about how your physical expression is read. Your gesture zone shrinks dramatically. On a standard video call, the camera typically captures from your chest to just above your head. Gestures below the chest disappear entirely. Keep all meaningful gestures within the upper third of your torso, no lower than mid-chest, so they remain visible within the frame. Stillness reads differently on screen. In a room, stillness signals calm authority. On video, too much stillness can read as flat or disengaged. Allow slightly more gesture frequency than you would in person, but keep each gesture precise. More movement, same intentionality. Lighting and background affect gesture visibility. If your background is busy or your lighting is poor, even a strong, well-timed gesture becomes hard to read. Ensure your background is plain and your face and upper body are well lit. A gesture that cannot be seen clearly is worse than no gesture at all. Pace your gestures to the delay. Video calls carry a small but real lag. Slow your gesture timing very slightly to account for this. If your hand moves at your natural pace, the gesture may arrive visibly ahead of your words on the listener's screen. Use deliberate stillness as punctuation. After a key gesture, hold it for a beat longer than you would in person. The screen compresses physical expression, and that extra hold gives the gesture time to register before you move on. The core principles hold. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: gesturing constantly, even during unimportant words. Why it happens. People mistake movement for engagement and feel they should always look active. What to do instead? Reserve gestures for your key points only. Stillness between gestures gives each one real weight. The mistake: hiding your hands below the table or behind your back. Why it happens? People feel self-conscious about their hands and try to remove the problem by removing the hands. What to do instead? Visible, still hand signal openness and trust. Keep them in view, at rest in your home base. The mistake: using the same gesture regardless of content. Why it happens? One gesture has become a default nervous release rather than a purposeful communication tool. What to do instead? Build a small vocabulary of 3 to 4 distinct gestures and match each one to the type of message it supports. The mistake: letting gestures arrive late, after the word they should support. Why it happens? The speaker is thinking ahead to the next sentence while their body is still catching up to the last one. What to do instead? Practice each key gesture in isolation until the timing is fused with the word. Slow your rehearsal pace to build the synchrony. The mistake: making gestures too large for the setting. Why it happens? The speaker is either mirroring a presenter they admire or releasing nervous energy through wide movement. What to do instead? Keep all gestures within the hip to shoulder zone. Match scale to room size and formality. The mistake: pointing a finger at the audience or at individuals. Why it happens? The speaker means it as emphasis, but it has not been replaced with a more open alternative. What to do instead? Replace any pointing gesture with an open palm turned upward. You keep the emphasis and remove the aggression. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each practice cycle. I have identified my 2 or 3 most important points for this speaking situation. I have chosen a specific, simple gesture for each key point. I have established a clear home base position and can settle into it immediately. I have practiced each gesture in sync with its target word, not separately. I have watched a recent video of myself speaking and noted my current nervous habits. I have identified one specific nervous gesture to replace with a purposeful alternative. I have assessed the room or screen context and adjusted my gesture scale accordingly. I know my content well enough that I have spare attention for my physical expression. My gestures stay within the hip-to-shoulder zone during rehearsal. I return to home base after every deliberate gesture before making the next one. I have asked at least one trusted person for honest feedback on my gesture habits. After this session, I will note one gesture that worked and one I want to change. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a real system for using hand gestures effectively, one that connects preparation, habit, timing, and self-awareness into process you can apply in any situation. This is not a collection of tips. It is a method you can practice and build on. Your hands communicate constantly, whether you are directing them or not. Take back control of that communication. A clear home-based position is the single most important physical habit you can build. Return to it after every gesture. Map specific gestures to specific key points before you speak. Preparation removes the guesswork under pressure. Timing is everything. The gesture and the word must arrive together, not in sequence. Stay inside your gesture zone. Contained movement reads as confidence. Wide movement reads as noise. Identify and replace nervous gestures one at a time. This is a practice, not a one-session fix. Read the room and adjust. What works in a boardroom is different from what works on a video call. Your next step is to record yourself speaking for 5 minutes this week. Watch it back with the sound off and simply observe your hands. That single act will tell you more than any advice I can give here. From there, if you want to extend this work into how you lead group conversations, meeting facilitation skills for managers will give you practical tools for physical presence in facilitation. And if you are working on how your communication holds up when conversations get difficult, how to handle conflict during meetings covers exactly that ground. You can also strengthen your overall impact in group settings through how to ensure every participant gets heard and how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion, both of which connect physical expression to group dynamics. When you learn to use hand gestures effectively, your words finally get the full hearing they deserve. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to use hand gestures effectively? Using hand gestures effectively means your physical movements reinforce your spoken words rather than contradict or distract from them. It involves deliberate, purposeful movement within a controlled zone, matched in timing and skill to what you're saying, so your hands strengthen rather than weaken your message. Why do hand gestures distract from your spoken message? Hand gestures distract when they are repetitive, disconnected from your words, or too frequent. Nervous habits like touching your face, tapping your fingers, or waving constantly draw the listener away from your content. When gesture and speech fall out of sync, the body becomes the loudest thing in the room. How can I use hand gestures effectively in a presentation? Prepare 2 or 3 specific gestures for key points before you speak. Keep your hands in a neutral resting position between gestures. Use open palm movements to signal honesty and confidence, and let your hands return to stillness after each gesture to give your words room to land. What is the best resting position for hands during a speech? The best resting position is what many coaches call the home base, hands loosely clasped or resting gently together just below your navel. This position looks natural, keeps your hands visible and non-threatening, and allows you to move into a gesture and return with control. Do hand gestures really affect how people receive your message? Yes. When your physical expression aligns with your words, listeners process your message faster and retain more of it. When your hands contradict your tone or move without purpose, listeners feel a low-level unease that they often cannot name, but that erodes trust over time. How do I stop nervous hand movements when I'm speaking? Start by identifying your specific nervous habit through video review. Then practice returning to a deliberate home-based position after every gesture. Give your hands a clear job to do at key moments. When hands have purpose, they stop filling the silence with anxiety. Also consider exploring feedback models every manager should know to understand how structured communication frameworks support more grounded physical presence. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.